Hi, everybody. You're listening to Survival Guide. We're gonna figure it out.
You just blew through the fucking thing. That's too
Michael, what's up, dude?
Patrick!
Okay, yes. Yeah, baby.
We're in it. We're having fun.
I love it, man. I'm living large. I'm living real large, dude. Have you ever been to SeaWorld?
No, I've never been
You've
to
never
SeaWorld.
Been? I've never been either. Because I've never... But you know how big I am with zoos.
Yeah, and SeaWorld is kind of like the grand poobah, the shining...
It's like a... People take it pretty fucking serious.
It's like a monolith. It's like the golden temple at the top of the mount.
I'd say okay, with this like exception of Animal Kingdom, no one's marketed zoos as well as SeaWorld. Cuz it is a zoo, but it's like if you went to the Linkin Park Zoo and there was like six roller coasters.
You know what? SeaWorld is like as imagine zoos being local parishes, like yeah. The Linkin Park Zoo is your local church. SeaWorld is the Vatican.
And it's like a temple to putting animals in little spots.
Yeah, SeaWorld is the Vatican, and much like the Vatican,
there's SeaWorld, a lot of controversy.
SeaWorld has its controversy.
Yeah, have you seen Blackfish?
Yeah.
Dude, okay. I haven't seen Blackfish, but I think what's funny is they make a big deal of, like, how SeaWorld doesn't treat animals right. It's like, dude, a place that sells, like, $6 corn dogs and, like, has a slingshot roller coaster isn't really the spot I want animals to have, like, refuge.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a theme park.
It's like, yeah, dude, the belugas don't have a lot of room. It's a theme park.
It's a private theme park. It's not even, like zoos a lot of times are, like, public-owned or non-profit.
Yes.
SeaWorld
is... It's a private, yeah, bro, entertainment center.
It's like if movie theaters had monkeys crawling around.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't then say, you know what, these monkeys aren't treated well. You'd be asking, why are there whales in an amusement park?
Exactly.
And I want to make it clear, I'm not saying we should let SeaWorld do this. But when you let, like... a corporate entity also manage animal care, there's going to be loops that and miss that, you know what I mean?
There's going to be loops that dolphins are jumping through.
Yeah, exactly. High hoops. And I think that's so Blackfish, tell me. It's about how they put them in little spots and stuff.
Yeah,
like it's little tanks.
It's about how terribly they treat the orca whales there and how orcas deserve to be free. And the thing about Blackfish though, as a lot of people got pissed off at, like, every zoo about it.
Yeah.
Because, once again, it's kind of like, oh, there's a lot of problems in the Vatican, but that doesn't necessarily mean that your local church, that your local parish is shitty and there's bad stuff going on there.
But it's good to investigate.
It's good to investigate. It's good to investigate.
Do your own journalism. But I get it. Like, there's zoos that have a lot of, like, rehabilitation programs and stuff for animals.
Yeah. I mean, the Linkin Park Zoo has, like, a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I thought so. And they have, like, initiatives to, like, teach the... And now, I'm sure that at SeaWorld there are, like, PR things where it's like, here's how we help keep bottles out of the ocean. You know what I mean? They have, like, little PR pieces that are about environmentalism, right?
Yeah, but that's like corporate PR. Like you know, like, Amazon will spend, like, $15 million on a campaign to donate $10 million.
I like the idea that it's, like, rock and roll roller coaster. But instead of, like, it goes 3, 2, and it, like, pulls you back because it's going to spring load shoot you. And then
yeah.
You listen to Aerosmith songs.
Yeah.
It's just, like, get conservation facts getting blasted in your ear while you're going 85 miles an hour in a corkscrew loop.
It's David Attenborough.
Dude, speaking. Yeah, David Attenborough coming through, and you're, like, going through this gnarly roller coaster.
That's the time, and it's, like, people are screaming, but it's David Attenborough, like, whispering wonderful, calming things in your ear.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like loving an elevator, and then David Attenborough.
Then the whale grows up to be 13 feet wide. Well, it's a tiny whale. Beluga whales. That's fine. Okay.
Do you like the ocean?
Come on.
What? Okay, no, I'm not talking about riding a vessel in the ocean. Not ships. I know you like ships, but do you like the ocean?
Do I like the ocean? You know, I think this goes...
Which is... Hey, man, what's up? You guys like the ocean?
What's going on, dudes? You like those waves?
You guys like starfish? Oceans, man? Just in a general idea of land use? Oceans?
Hey, Marianas Trench. I think the ocean's interesting. I think I like the mysticism behind the ocean.
Me too.
Much like many a sailor would.
Now, that's so true. I like humans' relation to the ocean. I like shipwreck stories. I like submarine mishaps. I like stories of people who hunt whales and dolphins.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's no more exciting story than Moby Dick.
Right. It's like the baseline of great fiction.
It's just a bunch of guys going out to hunt a whale and the whale fucks them up.
Yeah.
And that the best part about Moby Dick is it's like super like oh, look it, don't fucking mess with nature, especially when something like nature gets this big and a whale.
It's like Jaws.
Yeah, it's like kinda Jaws.
Same story.
And Jaws, and the thing about Jaws is he keeps coming back. The same shark.
Does it do that sequel thing where it's like the shark's dad, who's more pissed than ever?
Well, I think so, but I think in the second movie it is the same shark because they can tell because it's kind of like burned and like messed up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't handle a shark invasion. Like, not...
I could because we live in a landlocked state.
I mean, like, if I was on a boat, I feel like I'm calm under pressure for a lot of situations. I would be calm under pressure like during our earthquake. No, I don't know. I guess you don't know if unless you're in it, but I know going into if a shark got on the boat and started causing havoc, I wouldn't be helpful.
Wait, but I don't think that's ever gonna happen. Sharks just don't hop on boats. This isn't like the Meg or what is it, Deep Blue Sea, where a shark will come up and snatch Samuel L. Jackson. That's not gonna happen. Sharks don't jump up on boats.
Well, that's okay then, perfect, because I don't really go in the sea or the ocean. I'm not a big ocean swimmer.
No, you're a lake and river man.
Mostly rivers. You have a certain type of mindset going to a river because it's always moving. It keeps you loose.
Well, and I think the difference, like, the ocean, the danger is, like, the huge waves, the creatures underneath. You never know if a tentacle's going to wrap around your arm, bring you down, the storms. With rivers, the danger is the current.
Oh, for sure.
You have, and that's like the danger.
Oh, dude, I have a funny story about that.
What, of somebody dying?
No, but it involves my family. And so me, my dad, and my younger brother were going, it was when we first moved to where we're from in Iowa, and there's a river going through town. And me, my dad, and brother rented a canoe to go on like a little canoe trip.
Yeah.
And the river was high. Like, it was moving. So when the river, you know what I mean? You can get these down trees and stuff. There must have been a storm. And we go to the spot, and we run into a tree. And as we run in this tree, we all kind of get out of the canoe because, like, water's starting to enter it. But then the canoe flips, and all this river water is rushing into the canoe, pressing it up against the tree. And I'm older than my brother, and you've seen my build. Like, I'm not, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And my brother was too young to be the size he is now. Like, he's a more built dude now. And my dad's built like me. So there's all this like river water rushing into this canoe, and it's like waterlogging the whole thing. And we're trying to pull this canoe out of the river, but there's you know how you lift up a bucket full of water?
Yeah.
It's heavy.
It's all ridiculously and heavy.
Imagine if there was like six hoses continuously pouring water in that. Like, you can't even bail it out. So the six of us, or the three of us, were just sitting there for like 45 minutes trying to get the, because what do? You just leave the canoe that you rented?
No, you can't just leave the canoe.
No. But eventually some strong guys came down the river.
You get away for some hunks.
Yeah, a couple of hunks.
Some beefy hunks to come by and lift your canoe out of the river.
They're Eastern European.
So that's such a dad story, though.
It is like a dad fishing trip where it's like something goes wrong like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Every time I've gone on an outdoor trip with my dad.
Dude!
something ridiculous.
Oh my god.
Like, I went one time, me and my dad, just as a date, my dad, going through his midlife crisis, got a UTV.
Like, what's that?
It's like the ultra tour, like basically an ATV, but it's a roll cage, so it's a little safer.
Dude, I didn't know you were that extreme.
Oh,
I didn't know you were living like some extreme life.
No,
bro.
I'm gonna make it clear, I'm not. Right. I was my dad got this when I was like 20.
Okay.
I wasn't living an extreme lifestyle, but my dad was like, "Oh, let's go hit some trails. Me and my son, me and my boy, we're gonna go." And so we're doing that.
I mean, it sounds badass.
Oh, it's fun. So like we went up to the top of this mountain. We're drinking beers, having a good time.
That's advised.
You know what? Maybe that. But then we go, and my dad goes, "Oh, yo, here's the trail less taken. Let's go there," because he's now Mr. Adventure.
Dude, take the normal trail.
He's now Mr. Adventure in his head. My dad's not an outdoorsy guy.
Really? You guys are from the sticks.
No, what do you mean we're from the sticks? What does that mean? We're from
you don't say stuff like that?
Well,
that's like country speak.
I know.
The backwoods.
No, we're not from the backwoods. We're from our mountain
suburban
house.
Denver.
We're
I'm from very suburban. Well, when you say mountain house, I'm envisioning you're in a mountain.
No, it's in Silverthorne.
I'm imagining something like the cabin that the Unabomber lived in.
No. We're in Silverthorne, where like movie stars will have their cabins there too.
Fuck you.
This isn't like...
Oh, Pat thinks I'm like the Unabomber. Well, fuck you, man. Clooney's my neighbor.
We're sitting there smoking pipes with him every night, drinking the finest whiskeys and cigars.
Dude. Okay, so you have a nice cabin. Yeah, okay. But your dad's not a very outdoorsy guy.
No,
you
my
take
dad...
a path of... Robert Forrest it and take the path less traveled.
Yeah, and so we
What's
get...
his name?
What, Robert Frost?
Oh, Robert Frost.
You'll go with the Robert Frost, path less traveled. And we get stuck in mud.
Yep. Naturally, bro.
We could not get this thing out of the mud. And we're covered in it. We're just like, and we're like an hour and a half. We're pushing. And eventually my dad goes, "We're going to have to leave this here."
Shut up.
"We're going to have to leave this here and get my car and go up this trail."
Shut up.
Yeah.
Did you?
So, yeah, we had to walk down, and we're covered in mud, and we're walking past people just absolutely...
Dude.
We're basically mud men. Yeah. We're basically, like, two mud men. My dad's in his, like designer cowboy pant jeans and
What
boots.
The hell is that?
Oh, okay.
Wait, designer cowboy jeans? What's a designer cowboy jean?
Oh, it's like jeans that, like...
Like, have all the buttons and florals and shit?
Yeah, well, they're, like, super nice jeans that they made for, like...
Cowboys.
Yeah.
What makes them cowboy jeans?
Well, I think it's more like the boot cut. Yeah,
I like the idea that they're cowboy jeans because they have, like, an enormous, like, embroidered cowboy on them.
On the ass jeans.
Yeah, bro. They're cowboy jeans.
And he's winking. He's winking
like that. It's like an old Marlboro Man ad.
Then my dad's going, "We're going out tonight. I'm putting on my nice cowboy jeans."
Yeah, bro.
So yeah, we had to go and we had to like basically like tow. Well, no. First we had to get into his car and drive to this little like side store, like roadside store, so we can get a tow cable.
Yeah.
And we're still covered in mud, so they gave us a hose and we were hosing ourselves off.
Okay.
Just on like this little thing, and like this place had like free wood, and there's all sorts of.
Are you kidding me? You can make a lot of money selling chopped wood.
Oh yeah,
and they were giving away for free.
Yeah, they were giving away. Well, it was.
You did live in a nice neighborhood. They were practically giving firewood away.
That's it. No, that's what happens when you live in a nice neighborhood. You get everything for free. Yeah. That's the secret we don't
Rich
tell.
Get richer. That's the they secret. Don't have to pay for wood.
That's American capitalism, baby. Yeah, so we just had to tow this thing out. We were just covered in mud.
It's so funny you say that because we have the same... We have like a thing in my family where it's like every Mother's Day goes wrong. But it's also... But that's like Murphy's Law. Like everything goes wrong.
That is Murphy's Law. Every Mother's Day goes wrong.
Yeah, that is honestly. And we went to the bounce. But it's so funny you say that about your dad because it's the same way with mine. Where like any son dad trip, like something goes a little wonky. You know what I mean? There's something that's a little bit of a mix up. Like we went to the Boundary Waters, right? and we drive up past like Duluth, Minnesota, like deep into the boundary waters, the border, like the lake system between Canada and Minnesota. And we're going for a camping trip. But you, in the boundary waters, you like take, or you can, you take all your supplies in on the canoe.
Yeah.
Right? So you have like your food, all your, like you have a water purifier, you have your tent, you have everything with you.
Yeah, you guys were doing a float trip, right?
A float trip. No, we're not, but we're paddling into the lakes. And we're not really floating. We're paddling in the lakes, and we portage. So that's where, when you portage, you have to take everything from in the canoe, carry it over land to the next lake, and then carry your canoe over land. To, like, it's a real Lewis and Clark.
Oh, okay.
And so we're deep in the lake system now. We're, like, three portages in, right? And we're at the lake. We're at the lake we're going to stay. And there's a ton of campsites that have, like, a latrine and a little cook's, or, like, a cooking grate so you can cook on the campfire. That's it. And we go and we get our campsite. And before we left, my dad had said, Pat, get the water purifier out. Make sure you know how to use it and make sure it works. And I kind of half-assed it.
Oh.
So I took it out and I was like, it's fine. It looks like it's going. And the water system isn't something you want to play fast and loose
no,
with. No. Because you took everything in. And if you... like get sick off the lake water, you have to deal with some sort of waterborne illness in your stomach until you get out of the lake system. And I start pumping the water purifier and it's trickling. Dude, we have like a couple canteens with us. We have one jug of water and I start trying to make more water because we were pretty loosey-goosey with the water. With the confidence that Pat tested the water purifier to the full extent that needed to be tested. But I get there and I'm pumping it. And it's like slowly going out. Like it's not really trickling. And my dad like gets as like, you know what I mean? Where it's like dad angry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's just like, God, like, damn it, Pat. I asked you to check the, like, I don't know. You're going to sit there and pump it until we figure out how to get it going faster. And so we started to drink off this like little trickle. It became like a thing every day where we had to pump forever. But like little things like that, dude.
It's always stuff like that. Well, I think that's also the rule with like camping in general.
Yeah, it like, can't go perfectly.
Well, like all camping is ridiculous. Like yeah. I'm in Boy Scouts. I think Boy Scouts is the perfect example of these ridiculous camping trips and stuff that would happen.
Yeah,
because I mean, you put especially like we do these high adventure camping trips.
Yep,
me and the other like older kids in the troop going out, and that's where you get a bunch of like 14 to 17 year olds.
Any zip line,
like 2 weeks together backpacking through the woods.
That's awesome. Dude.
And people are doing and like when you're 16, you think you're an adult, yeah. But you're not quite that way.
No, not at all.
So you're doing dumb shit.
Yeah.
And you're constantly doing stupid things. So we had this thing.
Things that can go serious like right away. You know what I mean?
Oh, where yeah.
It's like, if this goes bad, like this is go really bad. Really.
Oh
quick.
Yeah. That's how it always was. Like yeah. I remember this one trip we were playing like ice hockey on a rink and I took a rock to the eye, which it was fun. Like, oh, Michael's going to catch the rock. And all of a sudden some guy takes the rock and nails it right in my eye. And I'm like, oh, and everyone goes quiet. It's always laughter. Then boom, silence.
Did you make a big show of it?
Well, I got hit in the eye with a rock and I had to go.
Oh,
to the
you made a big
room.
Fucking deal.
Yeah.
Huh?
You know, yes.
Oh, Michael ruined the trip. He made a big deal about getting the rock to the face.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I did. I'll admit that. I made a big deal of the whole thing. So we had this whole thing.
Yeah.
On these high adventure trips where if some kid did something stupid on the trip, then they'd have to wear the Wally hat the next day. And somebody got the Wally hat every day.
Which, so people were always doing dumb shit.
Oh, yeah. And you had to wear the Wally hat until somebody...
What's just, a Wally hat?
It was a stupid hat we would buy on the trip. We had to look for the Wally hat
on
the
trip. Oh, that's fun, though. That's kind of cool. It's a fun way to acknowledge someone who doesn't really take health and safety seriously.
Yeah. Sometimes it'd be stupid stuff. Like, when we were in Germany...
You went to Germany with the Boy Scouts?
Oh, yeah, we
Shut the fuck up.
We backpacked around Europe and went to
what?
A jamboree. Yeah.
Oh, we went to Fort Atkinson, Iowa.
Yeah.
No way, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So we had this Wally hat. The Wally hat was like this gnome hat, which you did not want to wear when we were at the, it was like a month-long trip, and the last week we were at the scouting jamboree up in Norway, and you did not want to wear it there, because scouting in other countries is boys and girls. So, as the only American troop there, we're like, oh, we're gonna be talking to some, like, hot Scandinavian chicks, and you did not want to be wearing the stupid gnome hat.
Did you guys talk to some hot Scandinavian chicks?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Fuck yeah, dude. So who was wearing that? Did you ever have to wear the hat?
I did have to wear the hat. Actually, on that trip, I was the first person that had to wear that hat because I lost my boarding pass before we even got to security.
Shut up.
Within 5 minutes of handing it to me, I did not know where I put it.
Dude, I hate when that happens. Sometimes I think it's like a little glitch in reality.
Yeah.
Whenever I get forgetful, I just blame it on the reality's glitching out, man.
Man, someone's like, Pat, I'm holding it right here. You're like, no, it's gone,
it's
man.
Gone, dude. That's just one of those things. Synchronicities of the universe.
I do think there's some times the reality does glitch, though.
Really?
Like, there's
me
some,
too.
There's something I just have never found ever. Even after, like, and I know I kept it in my room, and then after cleaning out my room and leaving, I still had not found it.
So listen to this. I used to have a Game Boy. What was the flip Game Boys?
The Game Boy Advance SP.
I had one of those, and I put it in my grandma's yarn bin, and then I lost it. And I looked everywhere, and I looked in the yarn bin. 6 months later, my grandma's like, hey, I found this in the yarn bin.
No.
That's kind of like a weird thing.
That's almost like she's fucking with you.
No, I don't think she would have done that. We're a family of prankers, but that's just what was cold-hearted.
You don't think your grandma would have hid your Game Boy Advance SP?
She's not
from
as
you?
Much of a pranker. We prank her. Where's my reading glasses?
Like, oh, I can't read. You're like, Grandma, why don't you look in the cabinet?
Why don't you look
you
in the ceiling?
She how did I put those up there? And she doesn't get that you guys are pranking her the entire time.
That's horrible.
Time.
Yeah. Do you prank your grandma?
I do not prank my grandma.
Who do you prank?
Who do I prank?
Who's your biggest prank victim?
Oh, I mean, to be honest, probably my significant others throughout my time. Mm. Oh, you know what? I do think the biggest prank, biggest person I did pranks on was my good friend, Kate Ragazzo.
What's the best prank you've ever pulled?
The best prank I ever pulled? So it was on April Fool's. It was to my good friend Kate Ragazzo, the Gaz.
The Gaz.
She was a freshman. I was a sophomore in college.
Okay.
And I convinced her that I was moving schools.
To where?
To CU Boulder. Because you have
to... never would have lasted there, bro.
What? I'm not cool enough for CU Boulder?
No.
I'm not chill enough?
I don't know anyone from CU Boulder, but I know you.
I'm not cool enough to be up in Boulder living with the hippies protesting the war.
No way, man. Which war? All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
So I told her I was going to Boulder, and I was, and so I got like 30 people in on this. I knew her schedule that day, so anytime she like ran into somebody that I knew, I made sure that person knew and was in on the prank.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the day, like she was going to her sorority semi-formal
okay.
that
yeah,
night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so she had a date. Her date was my friend John. And so John was in on it too. And as she was getting ready, she was putting makeup on, she started crying.
What? And it ruined her makeup?
Well, then she just washed it off and put it back on again.
How long do you do a prank?
Oh, if I'm...
What's your duration of lie?
If it's on April Fool's...
The whole day.
I
purposely do not prank on April Fool's Day. I think it's a rookie day.
Well, that's your prank. You get everyone on edge. But
on
you don't
edge.
Do anything.
Because I'll prank any other day. I will prank day and night. I used to call people in college and tell them that I needed them to bail me out of jail.
Well, they used to call you Prank Stallone.
I would have put the X in that right away. Frank.
Well, what did you? What prank?
What's his nickname?
What? Frank Stallone?
Yeah.
I don't know. I only know.
Well, no, like on a personal level, what's it? What do his friends call him? Franklin.
Frankie.
The only Frankie I know is Muniz.
Oh, Frankie Muniz. What a guy. I love Frankie Muniz.
Me too. On a personal level.
On a personal level, I love Frankie Muniz. He doesn't remember any of his past.
That's a sad part of
it. That is sad. But you know, he's always joking about it.
Would you live forever if you were Frankie Muniz?
Would I live forever if I was Frankie Muniz?
Not like not like if you become Frankie Muniz, you get to live forever. Yeah, bro. Would you live forever if you were Frankie Muniz? Bro, like, if you were Frankie Muniz, would you live forever? Like, he has the option.
He has the choice. And he decided not to.
Yeah.
Why? Because he has to suck the souls out of a person each year.
Yeah.
And he decided that weighs too much on his heart.
He has to kill a middle child every year.
That's it. He has to look for a middle child. He has to kill the seventh son of a seventh son. Something spooky like that.
Oh, that is a spooky little... Well, he's Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. And they get to absorb their essence.
Yeah, dude.
And that's why he can't remember his past. This is going to be terrible. That's why he can't remember his past. Because he has the souls of and the memories of every person he sucked.
Yeah, he like can't differentiate it. And he's like, was that the part of the sitcom I was in? Or did I move to Norfolk, Nebraska? But I think he got hurt doing car racing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Noggled his brain.
Yeah. But he's always joking. He jokes about it on Twitter.
Car racing is something I do not envy. I don't envy rich, cool car racers.
Oh, it's frightening.
That is a scary existence.
I think people like that do it because they need some sort of big excitement in their lives.
Yeah.
And like I mean, if you're like a poor person growing up in the slums, like it.
What? Race car drivers are born every day in every part of the world. A race car driver is born every minute.
Oh, but look at F1, right? F1 drivers...
They are rich.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. F1 drivers are like... They usually come from rich families.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes.
You're not necessarily getting F1 drivers from, like, the... From, like, South London. That's the...
Wait, what is that, bro? Like is that Peaky Blinders?
The sticks of South London. And I got a job for doing crime.
The sticks? You just learned that word.
What?
The sticks.
Yeah.
You just used it.
If you're not coming from the sticks of London and you're doing crime with Hobbs from Hobbs and Shaw.
You're using sticks wrong.
What do you mean? The sticks? No,
sticks
I'm talking about...
Sticks isn't like...
I'm talking about the...
Is that the name of the place?
No, but like the... Sticks like London? Like the bad part of London.
No, but sticks does not mean bad.
What am I wrong with then?
Sticks is like... It just takes forever to get to a Walmart. You're in the sticks.
Okay.
I'm not saying like the sticks is like run down. I'm saying the sticks is just distant from a Walmart.
Okay, I'm talking about Peaky Blinders London.
Yeah.
It's like the ducks, and there's always a man that speaks like this that's giving out crimes to do. You know what I'm talking about?
And he's huge. He's huge. Like the largest dude like ever made.
And he never smiles except when he gives you a crime he knows you don't want to do. And he gives it to you, and he's rubbing it. He has a little bulldog and a big gold chain.
I'll say this: the British did crime in a very cool way.
They did. There was something like in the American crime stories, like the cool criminals are always like the thieves. Other than that, it's like, I don't want any part of that. The British criminals?
They're part of Parliament, am I right?
That's right. Hey,
you know where you find the British part of the criminals? They're in Parliament.
You look none other than the House of Lords.
Yeah, Buckingham Palace if you want a couple criminals. Well, that's right. We're coming at the Queen.
And you know what? If you want the biggest criminals, go no further than the British Museum.
Let's go, baby. We're coming for you, curators.
That's right, which is kind of true, because the British stole a lot of shit, put it in the British Museum.
Oh, I thought you were talking about just, like, people who went to Oxford to be a museum
no,
curator.
No, just two museum curators who are the
They're
big
the villains.
Criminals. This is an Oregon State PSA, and we're scared for everyone that lives here. People have been allowed to have gold for too long. It's serious as shit. I'm governor, and I say so. Go to your closest cash for gold and get rid of it. Cash is king, baby, and I don't give a shit. I tried to go to Fort Knox, and they turned me away. Fuck those nerds. Said I can't wear some cosplay-ass military outfit I found online. Gold made me forget about my wife and kids, and to be honest, they're kind of rad. My wife drinks Monster Energies and she pays for them all in cash. This was Governor of Oregon, Kate Brown. Fuck you, and fuck the gold standard.
This week, we are surviving as profiteers of the gold rush.
That's right. We got long beards and we
and
pick
floppy axes. Hats, baby.
Floppy hats. People think we're crazy. We left our wife and kids behind.
But you should have met them. You go to.
They all had cholera and looked terrible.
And I didn't want that shit.
That's right. We're going to the Gold Rush.
We're very excited. I think it's a romanticized era, right? I mean, they called the 49ers the 49ers for a reason.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone is like, we're going out west to find gold, to find your treasure. I think that's the whole American thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Oregon Trail is so tied to it. They were doing the Oregon Trail before the Gold Rush, and I don't know why, because if you're going to California, you better be getting gold.
That's right. You better be snatching some of that gold up and living in your big fancy gold mansion, which probably only happened to about 1% of the people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think of skunking it. There were people who just absolutely skunked the Gold Rush.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? Those guys... The thing about, like, skunking the Gold Rush is he didn't give up. Nobody gave...
No. No one, like, threw in the towel on the Gold Rush. That's why there's so many old prospectors. The old ones are ones who never really made it, because if you find enough gold, you're like, well, I'm not digging in the fucking dirt anymore.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. If you find, if you hit the mother lode,
yes,
you're able just to go off and live life. But you know what? Most old prospectors... Once, like you said, they're old. They got big old beards.
Yes.
They got still tattered clothing. They smell terribly.
Still chasing that treasure.
They're only eating beans.
Yeah, unforgivably.
Yeah, let's, I mean, I know a lot about the Gold Rush.
Tell me what you know. Because you're from, Colorado. Like, did Colorado have, those regional roadside, Gold Rush
music? Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, I've already talked about Buffalo Bill's grave in earlier episodes, the amount of times I've gone to see that. But, I mean, it's all, Argo Gold Mine in Idaho Springs is a big one. And they take people, and there's always, an old Colorado man who's like, yeah, he didn't speak like this, but I like to imagine that he did.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say.
We're getting gold here. Let's get some gold.
I would love if you, growing up as a kid, your one insular wish was just to be the guy who leads those tours.
That's it. And you're wearing the floppy hat, and you got your big nose that's all red because it's infected with something.
Well, real quick, you've been on cave tours?
Yeah,
A ton.
Yeah.
I love cave tours, dude. I've been on one, and it was rad as hell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cave tours rock. And what's even better, as I've been on mine tours, which are man-made caves.
Oh, yes.
Well, the thing is, it's kind of rare to find a mine tour. Because most of these mines were filled up with poisonous gas when they, struck into, the earth. So there's probably... And they're all boarded up, so there's probably, a bunch of skeletons in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. You know what? I would love to see a movie about a bunch of kids exploring mines like that. You know what I mean? I guess Tom Sawyer did it.
Yeah.
The movie Tom Sawyer. But, yeah, I love cave tours. You know what I like about cave tours real quick? Is when there's water features in the cave.
Oh, yeah.
A cave waterfall or a cave lake is badass.
Well, you have... Exact. Yes. Yes, you get the water... you've expressed to me how much you love indoor water features.
Yes, I like indoor or outdoor things that are inside. And a cave waterfall is kind of like that. Because technically, the cave's an indoor, natural system.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's plenty of dangers.
Oh yeah,
to be a prospector.
And skeletons. Yes,
there's bandits.
Dangers and skeletons. the two biggest foes of the prospector, just dangers and skeletons.
But oh yeah, so a big thing if I was gonna do that, I'd want to go full old prospector. I'd start looking like it before I got out there, because I think I want to fit in.
Absolutely, and I feel like it's all beige. It's a beige wearing people, or maybe it's because they're all covered in dirt all the time. I think being a prospector is cool because it allows me the opportunity to play my favorite instrument,
which is.
The jug.
The jug.
Yeah, dude. I feel like you can only play the jug if you're an Old West prospector.
You got a guy with a jug. You get your little crew of prospectors.
Yeah.
People that you kind of join. You go to the saloon afterwards. The old mountain, bar.
Do you think there's friends among prospectors? Because if the guy next to you hits a gold rush, you feel like a piece of shit.
I think there's honor among prospectors.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like prospector to prospector murder was off the charts.
Really? You think prospectors were... I think there was this honor among prospectors, if you lay claim to land out there, another prospector shouldn't encroach in on it.
Well, Michael, I want to think about this. you're in the middle of rural California. And I guess every place in California at that time was rural California.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no hospital, period. But, like, there's no real, like, medical person. And the guy next to you strikes gold. And there's no police. There's no anything like that. Are you telling me there aren't people out there who said, wow, this guy, the next person's 5 miles away. The guy next to me who I see just struck gold. That's prospector murder right there. I bet that probably 50% of gold are like, what do prospectors say when they hit gold?
What is it? Eureka.
Eureka. Every time you hear Eureka, 50% of a prospector dies.
Really?
So for every two Eurekas, there's a dead prospector.
For every two Eurekas, there's a dead prospector.
I genuinely believe that.
I think there's the danger of, like, bandits.
Bandits.
Vagabonds. Mountain people.
Bandits. Mountain people, right?
Mountain bandits who are constantly looking for prospectors.
I feel like there was a whole class of people that were just looking for prospectors that had hit a Eureka to kill that prospector.
Oh, yeah. I completely bet. You got a Jesse James type character.
And you know what? They welcomed it. Murder was a part of life, I think. And it's like the Elder Wand, bro, in Harry Potter. It's like... like, if you have the Elder Wand, you got to think people are going to try to murder you.
Oh, yeah. You make it big. You are in probably the most danger of your life until you get to the Mint down in Denver or in Los Angeles.
Holy shit. I didn't even think of that. Like, okay, you hit a Eureka, right?
Yeah.
And you got to truck that shit somewhere to sell it. You can't just be like, all right, I want to exchange this here on the mountain for $20 million. You have to then get that to Sacramento.
And gold's heavy. Gold is heavy.
Gold,
and your one donkey, our one trusty beast of burden, is not going to be able to carry that thing, like the water and the food that you already have, and you and that huge thing of gold right there. That's a hazard. That's why I think we got to disguise our gold. We got to make it seem like it's not gold.
Spray paint it. Well, that I didn't even. So you could have found, like, let's say you can only carry 40 pounds. If you find 80 pounds of gold, you're shit out of luck. You really are only worth what you can carry.
Well, you gotta hide it. I think that's a big thing.
I do think hiding gold was a big thing.
Like, we're gonna have to figure out ways to hide it and plant traps around the mine or our dig spot.
Yeah.
Like, I think of tiger traps, trip wires, Ewok log.
AT-AT walkers? Like a full Star Wars walker
standing over your thing. No, I'm like the Ewok, like, whole, like log... Rams.
Yeah, dude, I agree with that. I think, you know, I think kids too loosely, I used to build traps all the time, and I think I didn't really understand the weight of what I was doing, because if someone, God forbid, would have gotten caught in a trap, like, you dig a hole, right?
Yeah.
And you put pointy sticks at the bottom of it, that's in all the cartoons. If a kid actually does that, you're going to maim your neighbor.
Someone's going to at least be bleeding.
Dude, big time. We need to hone down on what kids are seeing on TV.
That's right. Because I think that's the most dangerous. Like, you know what? Kids playing, like, Call of Duty, I don't think, like, they're, like, shooting guns. They understand that's war.
No, don't let them dig a hole, though.
No. But watching, like, Cartoon Network and, like Roadrunner.
Yeah, dude.
Or Wile E. Coyote digging a tiger trap to get Roadrunner in.
Like, they're... Exactly, dude. Everyone's upset about video games. Like, Looney Tunes is a... You're cooking up murderers.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? And they're dropping... Like dropping anvils on people?
Yes. They draw a picture that seems to be a road on the side of a mountain.
And then you run... And then one person runs through it. And all the... And, like, they're like, oh, well, I better run through it, too.
And they end up hitting what is the actual mountain face.
Yeah. And then playing with TNT.
Dude, there was a whole Looney Tune who was a prospector.
Oh, yeah, Sam.
Is that his name?
Yosemite Sam.
That's horrible branding for that beautiful national park. Oh. He was a crass old man.
He was, and he had two guns that he was always shooting around because he was pissed off.
That was bizarre.
He was a Western folk, if I've ever seen one.
I'm curious, the problem was being rich back then, what do you even spend your money on? What's cool enough back then to have?
I think at that point, you buy yourself... a big house.
Yep.
Because that's what you did. No, you didn't buy yourself a house. You built yourself. You paid people to build a mansion.
Yep.
Denver is full of these, like, rich people mansions who became, like, who were, like, robber barons, oil kings. Yeah, who built, like, Molly Brown. There's the Molly Brown mansion.
And she was a murderer.
I think, well, unless she... You know, she might have sunk the Titanic. She might have been the one. She was on the Titanic, and she survived.
Wait, you? How would I know that? You said Robert Barons and Merton Thieves, and then you said Molly Brown. Oh, she's a Titanic survivor.
She was a part of that. You know what Robert Barons are, right?
Oh, you mean like the Vanderbilts?
Yeah.
I thought you meant Robert Barron, how I was thinking of it.
Like a gentleman thief wearing a top hat and a...
No, like guys, the guy who wore the black mask and the white, or the black and white striped shirts. That's how I view Robert Barons. But the biggest thieves come to us in designer suits.
That's right. And that's today's lesson. Be wary of your neighbor.
Did Molly Brown live?
She lived. That's why her name is the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Mm. So that's, how'd she die?
Probably old age. TB.
TB. not Tom Brady.
No. So, not Tom
no.
Brady.
No, it's not.
Well, that's... Okay, so we're assuming we make it big. We're assuming we strike big in this gold rush. We have our gold. We're transporting it back. We spray paint it, like you suggested?
We can spray paint it. Well... Think about, so generational wealth, right? Generational wealth. Like, people who have been rich forever. Like, the Kennedys were rum runners, right? But there are people who got all their money from the gold rush, probably still, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing I learned. You can't, I say here's the thing a lot. Jesus Christ.
That's okay. I say something a lot, too. I can't remember what it is.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing.
Here's the fucking thing, bro. It's up to the point. You're letting people know. Here's the goddamn
listen,
thing.
Listen.
Hey, right. This is it. We're listening.
All right. That last thing wasn't the thing.
Here's this is the thing.
All right. Here's the thing.
Okay.
A lot of these people who were in the gold rush didn't produce any offspring.
What? Because they got their balls crushed by pickaxes? <'Cause> like, it was rampant ball crushing.
Well, it's that and like rocks would fall and crush their balls.
Really?
No.
Oh.
No, it's because a lot of them were married before they went up to the gold rush, and then they had these midlife crises at like 35. You had them early back then.
Well, you lived young.
You had them at like 27.
Yeah.
These guys at 20, and then they'd be like, well, I gotta go hit it big.
Leave their family behind?
Yeah, then they leave their family behind. And go and like mine and they're mining for 20 years.
Dude, I do like the idea that Gold Rush is a bunch of like, I guess, old for them, like 27 to 30 year olds who are just like disillusioned with society and want to go hang out and dig dirt with their homies, bro.
It's just dudes.
Just you and the dudes digging dirt.
That was it. It was Woodstock was the more modern day Gold Rush.
Yeah, but too many women at Woodstock.
Yeah, that's no. These are just guys
just
hanging out.
Just dudes being stinky and digging for gold.
And
baby.
You know what? If they wanted the company of a woman, they'd go down to the local brothel. Real fact.
That's a real thing?
Yeah.
That was the standard. If they were lucky enough not to have their balls smashed together by two rocks, then they head to the brothel.
Well, that's why they called it getting the rocks off.
Yeah, baby. You gotta brush the gravel off. Yeah, dude.
To make sure they were still intact, because they didn't know until they took off their one piece underwear.
Dude, their one long underwear piece with like seven buttons.
And they're like, one moment, I gotta check before I pay you, ma'am. And he's brushing all the rocks off his balls.
Let me make sure it's worth it.
Sure,
I still got my balls.
Let me check here. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, bro, that's funny.
Let's get your rocks off. We got our gold. We got to get it back. We set up traps around it. We get it back.
What would you, if you could, so you'd buy a house if you were a rich gold miner.
I think I would build one of those old, like, when like people were like really focused on like that classic architecture style,
yeah.
In like the city in Denver.
I don't. A house is probably. I mean, it's just such a gimme. Back then, you could spend your money on interesting things, right? Like there wasn't the laws around elephant ownership that there are today.
Yeah,
you could kind of just buy one.
You could also buy a railroad.
You could buy a railroad, right? Or you could pay to have one installed.
Yeah, and you could have just like a little railroad just for you, your own private railroad.
Well, you can still have your own little private railroad. You're telling me that if you bought a house in an acre of land, you can't build railroad tracks
a
on it?
Tiny little
I'm not saying it's a useful railroad, but you can have your own railroad.
Well, a lot of times when they do that, it's like the railroads they have at the zoos where like people are going around and like little like kids thing. Like I'm talking like your own private with like full size trains where you have to hire a conductor and he's just taking you around your pond.
Yeah, dude. It'd be good for like if you have company over.
Holy shit.
What?
I would be an eccentric billionaire.
That's what I would be. I me too. I'd have to buy a lot of weird stuff. I would definitely buy a lot of curios, you know what I mean? Things from other places that were cool.
Oh, yeah, and where people sell, like, stuff, like mystics from the Orient, and, yeah, like...
Well...
the Orient's an area. It's an actual... the Orient's an area. Oriental is a style.
I care so much about being respectful, but I'm too dumb to know.
Like, it's Oriental rugs are like rugs from the Orient. That's just
listen.
Like...
I get it, man. You say it, not me.
Yeah, but like mystical things when people still didn't quite understand other cultures.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it. Like you have a room and it's full of like antelope heads. That's what I want. I don't like hunting. I hate to see animals die. Like, I'm not a vegan. Like, I get it. I'm not, like, maybe that's hypocritical, right?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I like eating animals, but I also like that they're hanging out and cool and happy. So, but I would love a room full of antelope, rhinoceros, elephant head. Like, I get it. Like, I know we shouldn't kill elephants.
The bar was on a different level back then.
Yeah, right. There were plenty. Which was kind of the problem with everyone's attitude is that they thought, hey, there was plenty of elephants.
Everyone
around.
Was playing fast and loose with elephants. Everyone wanted the tusks to make your fancy, like, little pianos.
Man, we're killing a lot of elephants. It's like, yeah, but there's plenty of them.
Look at all these fucking elephants around.
We got plenty of them, dude. It's like, dude, stop being such a loser, bro. We got plenty of these things.
Like, I think, so if the rules were, like, I know now... Like I would invest. I would definitely invest in railroads.
Oh yeah, it's like, oh, if I could put $1,000 on Google, it's like, yeah, for sure. Like, I'd invest so that I, like, my kids could eat.
Yeah.
But even more fun is not investing.
Even more fun is not
investing.
Spending
that shit on random
taking all that gold, that massive gold fortune you have, building your own private railroad in the back with, you know what, you could even invent the trampoline. You could tell people, you could start, because I think you could hire a blacksmith to make you springs.
Yeah, I think I get a train. You know what, Patrick? You could invent a trampoline.
That's what you could do.
Yeah, good. I'm not that big of a trampoliner.
You gotta, well, now you are.
We used to, in high school, anyone who jumped on a trampoline, we call them trampolineers.
Wow. He's just look at this. Well, that's by like an 8-year-old kid jumping.
No,
look at that
dude.
Fucking trampoline.
No,
kid's just having a good time.
No, it was if any older kids were jumping on a trampoline. We hate to see people have a good time.
That's it. You'd be walking by the gymnastics practice.
A bunch of trampoliners.
And they're like, what are you talking about?
I'm going to Penn State on a full ride, you dipshit, Pat.
Yeah, that's something that a trampoliner would say. Hey, I could see you trampoliner through that leotard. And they're like, yeah, it just makes it easier.
All right,
for me
we're
to
getting ready
it.
For the Olympic trials, jackass.
Oh man, yeah. I think the eccentricity is a big thing,
dude, for sure. You know, I told you I would really like to bury a bunch of gold around the United States.
Yeah, so I think that's the next step at the end, because we still have the other half of that gold.
Yep.
In that thing, I'm gonna start doing a national treasure type thing. I'm gonna start leaving clues.
Yes,
right?
Me too. Like throughout my life, where it's like a long treasure hunt.
Oh yeah, but I want it to be vague. I don't want anybody in my lifetime.
You want it to? I want to put the clue on a map.
Yeah, I want it to be an urban legend.
Treasure map.
I want to put the clue on the map and have an X
on the spot where it is.
I want it to be like urban myths. I want to start like maybe going in. I disguise myself as like an old gentleman from East, like from New York, who are like, well, I heard this crazy eccentric man hid his gold somewhere up in those hills.
Yeah, I would love to, because there's certain ways where you can carry on your legacy.
Yeah.
I think the coolest way to do that is to have a treasure hunt named after you that no one can find, that there maybe there's a couple of clues, a couple of theories on the internet, or it's a like a myth or like a regional story, but the high school kids, they skip a day of school every year to try and go find it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a thing, bro. Like, people remember you as the rad guy who may or may not have buried gold.
And you know, I'm going to start investing in politics at that time, so I can start putting treasure maps on the back of documents.
Oh.
Like they do in National Treasure.
You really, really want to involve the government.
That's, I want it to be like the Freemasons.
Why, so they can tax you? everything with these people. They keep taxing
well,
me.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the... Fuck, I'm back at it again.
Here's the thing, baby. Give it to me.
So, well, if you hide your if you hide your gold, where's the government never going to look? Where the government is. The government's too busy looking in all the people's houses that if you hide it underneath the Colorado State Capitol, they'll never think to look there.
Or the airport.
The airport.
You guys That's have a it. Crazy airport, bro.
That's it. I'm hiding it where DA is
in the be. In the evil horse's eyes.
That statue killed the sculptor.
Did it really?
Yeah.
On purpose? Like at a night at the museum type thing?
It was. They brought in eight. It was the gold. It was the cursed gold of yeah, Michael dude. And Pat.
They brought in like two old Italian detectives. Like, we can't figure this out for the life of them. Do you think the statue killed him?
Dude, that's what it's going to be.
It has a horse bite on its head?
That's right. Yes. Yes.
I don't know. And that's what's. Oh my God. Michael. Here, I got it. It's a French investigator. And the Italian investigator, and our last clue we insert into the brain of the sculptor. So when they do the autopsy on the evil horse bit its head, it's like a Da Vinci Code kind of.
Well, we were planning clues that only appear in the future. we're going.
Well, that's the mystery. Can they travel through time? But then we have it's oh fuck. Okay, it's like a Now You See Me. When, yes, we are dead, but we have someone acting on our behalf in the present, inserting clues into the sculptor's brain.
That's it. That's it. We hire a family. We have a specific family. Like
who are our, like, Bennett, who we pay for their kids to go to college until the end of time.
Yeah.
But the only rule is they have to
plant
clues and create a treasure hunt after... We have passed.
It's true. Since we have no kids, since we're prospectors, we leave everything to them and their family.
And they're just like some neighbor. It was the kid that we ended up playing catch with.
Yeah.
He's a neighbor kid, and they're like, oh, he's some crazy old kook. But the kid that we play catch with is like, he's pretty nice. He always plays ball with me. And then we leave it all to that kid.
We leave it all to the kid. And in our wills, the stipulation is everything belongs to that kid except for the treasure that we hid.
Yes.
Everything belongs to the kid, except the treasure that we hid does not belong to the child, but to everyone else.
But to the wild.
For the kid cannot claim he is a gatekeeper, and that's in his name. And it's like a cryptic clue. So like anyone except for his lineage, except for people in his line.
I like can claim that treasure. His kids, his, like it's a... tradition that there then you know what I wouldn't mind watching the movie of that family or that son. That's how the movie starts. It's almost a national treasure in that way, where the dad is dying and he tells his son on his deathbed, you have to continue this.
That's right. I think that's perfect. And we're leaving it all to the kid. The kid can grow up in the fancy house. He has the trust fund.
Yep.
He's invested in the railroad.
He becomes the eccentric guy.
That's right. And every time. And so he has his kids, and then his kids become the eccentric guy. And it's called the lineage of Michael and Patrick, these people. And you know what? They all start looking like us as they start getting older.
That is creepy. That's a weird way to take that.
They all start. Well, that's a part of the cook.
Then it becomes a haunting. Like, we're inhabiting the brains of these children.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Patrick. Like, I only, you know what I mean?
And so the house soon turns into like the Winchester Mansion.
Yeah.
With all the creepy things because there's we were so eccentric, we put in like doors that led to nowhere.
To nowhere.
And then like bookcases that opened up into secret rooms.
A fountain inside.
There's a cave underneath that has a waterfall.
Yes. And I think also the other thing, Michael, is that I like the final shot would be it's the winner going to Bermuda or somewhere to party, and it's him at the airport getting out of his car or driving past the horse statue, and it's us two nuts to butts on the back of the Bronco and have like cowboy hats, and like we tip him as a salute to his success on the treasure hunt.
But we're still wearing like, although we're characters throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think we're just like, we're like small, cause we're like haunting. We're like spirits, but we live on It's
but we do like a Three Stooges type comedic thing where we're poking each other's eyes and stuff.
Yeah, we're like do do do
do do do.
But we're like watching him, and he thinks like we're always watching him from a distance. At the end, he goes, "Wait, is that them?" And we give a nod of the hat, and almost like in a Christmas miracle sort of situation, we like blow away with the snow. We blow away with the dust.
It's like a holiday movie somehow at the end.
And then it's Spirits of the West. And then Old Man by Neil Young starts playing.
And then the statue winks its eye at the camera.
Yeah.
Cut to credits.
Cut to credits. And it's an Old West song. It's Marty Robbins, Big Iron.
I want to take you down to the bayou. Take it down, figure out what you're going to do. Something like that.
Well, I don't think we have to end on that. I don't think that's...
Oh, of the movie?
Yeah.
It's us singing. Us singing a cover.
Us singing, gold fever, gold fever. And then it cuts up. And then at the end, and then there's an after credit scene.
Okay, what is it?
Like they have at the end of Marvel movies, which is like...
Us on either side of the guy in Bermuda drinking Mai Tais.
Yeah, doing that.
But dressing old-timey prospectors.
That's right. But we're still dressing the old... We still have the big beards, but we're drinking Mai Tais. And you know, we got a couple bodacious babes around us. It's like a nice... He's making the Bernie's thing.
Dude, yeah, baby, I like
that. And we're having a good time. And then he goes, wow, I'm so glad I found your guys' treasure. You're like, yeah. And we're like, yeah, we're so glad you found one of the treasures.
Sequel!
To be continued.
Yeah, baby.
Question mark. And we cap it off on that. And we do not, and the movie may never get made.
It does so poorly in the box office that they never make a sequel. It's one of those where it's like, they really hinted at having this another movie.
that after credit scene where they tried to make a whole Prospector secret universe.
Yeah, dude.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to Survival Guide. We'll have another one out next week, so check it out.
Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Our Twitter is @SurvivalGuidePod, and our Instagram is Survival Guide Podcast. Super fun.